All right, folks. I'm here with Rob, Mr. Hazelwood.
Always
started. Hazelnuts, Hazel Sticks, Hazel Twigs, Handsome Bob.
Handsome Bob, hello.
Yeah.
We're back.
We
are back.
It's the end of the season. You've been here at the Ridge for a couple weeks. We're ready to kick you to the door, to the curb, but you're still here. And we're doing some training, some FPM stuff, ski testing. And we're rebooting
all sorts of good stuff.
Some episodes.
All sorts of good stuff.
But why don't we kick off this first episode, kind of reacquaint people with, you know, a peek inside both of our brains by digging into the 2023 season. Mm-hmm. Some highlights.
I like it.
Maybe some lowlights too.
Lowlights. There was a good mix of this season. There was a lot of good, a lot of bad, a lot of meh, a lot of...
So can we just zoom out real quick? Mm-hmm. I would say 2023 season, maybe the best... in some ways, in a long time, decades, as far as TWBC, event coverage, the amount of events, the quality of the events. Are you okay? What's going on with the mic?
Twiddling. I'm just twiddling? Getting it right.
Getting nervous.
No, we're good.
Yeah, you're getting nervous.
I'm good there.
It was a world championship season, so that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the season was really long. We started, Moomba, but started at Swiss, King of Darkness, all the way.
King of Darkness was just before Swiss.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
All the way until 2 weeks ago at Worlds. Yeah. So talk about it. Your perspective, you're obviously in the trenches. You finished sixth in the world. Pretty stellar, if you ask me. Talk about Swiss. First event.
First event, honestly, I'm just going to pop one out because we talked about this slightly before. First event probably for me was King of Darkness. I was on 01 for pretty much all of last season. I got relatively early when they kind of came out with the demo and kind of helped a little bit through that. So I was on 01 all of last season, had a solid end of the season, but then kind of probably April time, we talked about it a lot. And it was like, right, I think it's time to try 02. Tried it, made a ski change, really felt good, comfortable with that. And within like 2 weeks, this exact ski, this baby was with me all season long.
She's shiny.
She does shine. She's not quite as shiny as she was at the start of the year, but she's been a lot of places.
She's been worked.
She's been worked hard. Pretty much, I guess, was it 2 weeks before that tournament, hopped on a new ski, just fell in love with it, pretty sharpish. And King of Darkness, it was top four to make the final. Ended up with a 3-41 in round one. Was like, ooh, this is nice. Round two, and then I think top four making the final. And I ended up fifth. I needed to get another three to make it into the final. Then ended up messing up. Got a 1.5.
Who beat you out?
Will, Asher, Nate Smith, Thomas DeGasperi.
Who was fourth?
For all of them, they all got tied with threes, and then I believe they might.
So we have to TP all four houses.
Yeah, pretty much.
Unbelievable.
But that was kind of the first thing where I was like, okay, I feel like I'm with. Like I said, it was Nate Smith, Freddie Winter, Will Asher, Thomas DeGasperi, like
all the big names.
All of the big names of the sport, and I was like, oh, actually, I was pretty close. I just tried to kill it at two to get ahead of the big runoff, but didn't end up behind the runoff.
Damn it.
And then Swiss came. There was a 2-day break in between. It was crazy start to the season. And I was like...
2-day break.
Coming off a high and...
For these guys, that's not much break.
That's not much break. Coming off a high was like, oh, I don't know how this one's going to go. I've always had pretty much success at Swiss.
Swiss has been like... It's been good for me. You've had that that tournament lockdown somehow.
It was my first ever pro tournament in the US that went really well. Yep. My first ever pro tournament in the US. That went amazing. Made the finals. Last year, made finals in some messy conditions. And this year, it was just, blown away. Turned 3-41 for the first time in a while. Mm-hmm. I think the first time in almost 2 years. Turned three, got a piece of four.
Can we talk about what that piece looked like?
Well, I thought I was good, and then the next minute I was upside down, and it firmly clicked. I remember just looking and seeing the course behind me.
That could have been crash. I would say maybe potentially top three crashes of the year, just because it was like kind of unique.
It was fresh. It was, you know, it was the exact same thing Joel Poland did. We did the same thing. We got narrow.
Yeah.
We reached, and then I nearly did it here yesterday. Actually,
yeah.
The ski comes back under, and you just. and that was kind of an exciting start. Haven't turned three ball in tournament for a long time. And then second round, I was in second round, I think I got 1-41. And then managed to put myself, there was a big pile up at three. I got a three and guaranteed myself on the podium, which was pretty insane because Swiss Pro is a
big event,
big one. Every single person, every mum and their dog is there. And I don't know why that was the phrase I decided on that one, but everyone and the dog was there, and it was just it's kind of a big one to start the season on, and to come third was like, oh man, this is, it kind of committed the, all right, we've changed skis, we're happy with it, we're comfortable, my body was feeling good, everything was feeling right, and off season was okay. I didn't stop skiing all of off season.
You skied like 23 months?
23 months straight, not taking more than a week off,
which is not advised, by the way.
It's not advisable, but I enjoyed it thoroughly. Well, I was meant to come here and take some time off and do all this stuff, and we've kept on skiing. We've been having fun.
Sure.
But that was, off season didn't go as well as I wanted to. I tried to make some changes. They didn't really work as well as I wanted. And ended up kind of, again, scrambling, changed ski 2 weeks before, and just for the season to start like that, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be amazing.
We could take an hour, but what's one or two other highlights after that Swiss event?
Highlight, obviously Lake 38 was awesome. I think there's still a lot of people there, but you're missing your, I think Will Asher, John Travers weren't there, so there was a few people not there, but ended up third place again there, so third ever podium pretty much within 3 weeks of each other. That was pretty awesome. That was a pretty good memory of mine. I've always struggled when there's maybe not a full field. I've kind of stepped back with my intensity in a way. I've tried not to, but I've never quite figured out that. So it was nice to know that a 3:41 probably could put me on the podium. I went out there, got 3:41 three rounds in a row, which I believe is a first for me too. And it was just pretty awesome one.
On a new shape for you.
Yeah, on a new shape, new sites, new boats, testing. I mean, there's so much stuff that can that can go. And I mean, I loved 01, but hopping on to 02 was slightly more, I guess, comfortable experience. A way more comfortable, just a little more drive, and just that kind of suited well. Obviously, coming off the pro with the square tip pro, that thing was aggressive as hell, and just moved and it snapped through. So it was kind of nice to know that I could come off that ski and find something else that I truly loved. And then I guess the next big memory would be Greece.
These have all been performance highlights. I'm going to ask you about like life highlights.
Europe was awesome.
Why?
Just traveling around with the buds. We had me, Jamie, Ali, John and Will, and we just kind of traveled around pretty much all together. We saw some pretty awesome places.
Did you guys even ski aside from the tournaments? Because it looked like you were just sightseeing.
We did a lot of sightseeing. I mean, the lakes in Italy were just amazing. Greece, beaches. We got stuck on a beach and we ruined someone's car. The waterfalls. I mean, there's so many experiences. And I drove. I drove all the way through. I got a ton of gear stolen.
We could talk about that.
We booked this trip in June. We were leaving June 15th. We booked it like not that early before. Yeah. And we knew we were going, but just organizing plans.
You're just
and
chilling. Just and couldn't get together.
We sat down, me and Jamie, we sat down and was like, right, we need to do this. And we booked it. And I remember booking it all. And I'm driving a ton of it. It was like, ended up putting 30 hours in the car within 3 weeks. I was like, I remember sitting down and just saying, the one thing I'm thinking is it's either going to be a really good memory or really bad memories. Like the whole trip could be anything. It could be whatever it
for
is.
Sure. For
but
sure.
No matter what, they're going to be memories. And that was pretty much exactly how it went. We had some amazing highs, probably highlighted by the 3:41 in Greece. And that whole trip, the way that they treated us there was just
top notch.
It's something that I've never experienced. I mean, again, any tournament is amazing. And the organizers always put so much effort even just to put them on. But we turned up. They had hotels organized for us. We ate out every single night.
Good
food. Amazing food. A whole group of every single skier that was there ate out together, which was obviously that's organized. Cool. I think they had a sponsor that covered all the meals. You know,
I think that's important. I feel like a lot of tournaments, athletes go and they're on their own program, and so the only time they're all together is like,
oh, for sure,
before or right after the competition, like before each round, after each round, maybe.
Yeah,
but then it's like everybody does this.
Yeah,
and so.
And that's cool. So much fun.
You get to all come together in off the water, yeah, away from the lake.
Yeah, and that was what they organized. We had a everyone turned up. I think Wednesday we could ski. Thursday we could ski the last day. Then we had Friday of amateurs. We turned up and they had. They were like, right, Friday we're going to a waterfalls. And water skiers will do things, but they're shocking at organizing anything. Any professional water skier just cannot organize. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. Like, we booked a 6-week trip around Europe 3 weeks beforehand.
Yep.
Stupid. Yep. But they were like, right, waterfalls, be there, be square. You know, we've got cars organized for you. Just get in and go. And every single person went. It was like memories of a lifetime.
That's awesome.
Just the most beautiful place. Thinking we were going to get stuff robbed. We didn't. Ice cream. All sorts of amazing stuff.
Ice cream
around the whole of Europe was just truly fanatical. You have to check out the vlogs for that one.
Yeah, you should check out some of Rob's vlogs because obviously every one of them actually, because he goes into a little more depth than he does here about what he did over there and what they all did.
Yeah. And those Europe ones, they were, because it was often we were at a water ski event, right? And it's like, oh, water skiing.
Hmm. Yeah.
Whereas this was like, there was some of the most amazing sights I've seen. The whole team was just kind of had a blast, which was amazing to be a part of, you know? And yeah, they were just editing. I ended up editing the vlogs kind of a few weeks after the event. And I remember looking back and doing it and been like, man, this is a hell of a lot of fun.
Can I ask you a question that maybe a lot of people are thinking? Mm-hmm. You are cousins with Will, Asher, and personality-wise, on the surface, it seems like you two couldn't be further from the same, like total opposite, basically. But a lot of people don't really know Will, and obviously, you could shed some light. He probably doesn't
love that we're speaking about this.
But I mean, what's Will like? Just quick, something that would surprise everybody. On a trip like Europe where you guys are all kind of hanging out.
He doesn't seem like it, but like, especially when he's having a good time, he's like an energizer buddy that somehow doesn't shut up. Like, especially if you put a beer in him. If you ever want to speak to Will, put one beer in him.
It's all it takes.
It was such a good time because obviously he's done this tour like...
He's been doing it for decades.
He's done this tour. He's probably been on this tour longer than I've been alive. I mean, he won his first pro tournament when he was... 18, 20, something
it was
like
2002
that.
2002 or 2003.
You know? And I was born 99, so he's been doing this a long time.
Yep.
And obviously I'm kind of fresh. You put a camera
Everything's shiny and new.
A camera in my hand like 3 years ago and said, film everything. I'm like, okay, I pretty much will. And
now you're killing it.
And my personality is very much out there and willing to share and help.
Yeah.
And whereas his come up was obviously very different. It was before the days and age of that. But that's why I think one of the greatest things about Europe was the fact that I know even for Will, I'm sure you wouldn't mind me saying that he had a fun time just enjoying the sport. There was so much other stuff going on. I know Jamie can be the same, right? She's pretty business. She can be, especially in front of the camera, very business. And we just had a great time. I mean, we went around Monaco, we went around Nice, we went around Italy, that whole part of up there around Torino. We took T-Gas to... We showed T-Gas a place that was like an hour away from his home lake.
That you'd never been to?
Oh my God, this is amazing.
That's awesome.
You know, and as skiers, we can be so guilty of just being so in on the sport. Whereas this was like, look, we're in Europe. And how many times are we going to get this opportunity of a crazy tour? And it was awesome. And like to be able to have those memories with Will and Ali and Jamie and all those good friends, that was a big part of it for me.
Yeah, that's cool. I think, like you said, skiers in general can get so... like kind of over game faced, just like too much game face.
And
forget that you're at your best maybe when you're making sure you're balanced.
Yeah.
Community, you know, camaraderie, also focus on skiing.
Yeah.
Kind of the whole kit.
Yeah. Well, none of us are in this for money. We could all go do other jobs that would be probably more money, less enjoyable, more money. So it's kind of a matter of, it's just, why do we do it, you know? Yep. And that was so awesome to take it back to. I mean, I love it, always have done, but there's moments where you go, you just like, what's going on? Why can't I do this? Like in off season, there was some moments where I was missing 39, you know, and dreading. And I remember I had Moomba at the start of the year, and I was not slamming well at all beforehand. I mean, I was running 39s, but it wasn't how I wanted to be doing it.
Yeah.
And I was so stressed, and looking back on those moments, I had some of, I love Chile. I love down there. I love the people down there. Miranda's, everyone there treats me so well. And I was like, I look back and go, man, I kind of wasn't enjoying big parts of it. You know, my knee was killing from trying to jump. My slalom wasn't going that well. Tricks is like banging your head against a brick wall.
What's the takeaway then from that? What you just said, what's the takeaway?
Like, that's the thing. And there was obviously is amazing moments looking back and going back, but...
There's somebody out there right now. I'm going to interrupt you. Somebody out there right now who's 13, 14, 15, 16, maybe trying to make that next leap and probably maybe experiencing, if they stop for a sec, experiencing what you just said, where they're like... almost feel like they're beating their heads against the wall a little bit. So what would you tell that younger up and coming skier?
It's tough because it's worth it. Like, it's by far worth it. Like, at the end of it, if you manage to get to kind of be able to experience the tour, I'm lucky that obviously there was the big blast of it in 2000s or whenever it was back in the day. We all say the golden age or whatever. Yeah. I'm very lucky to be able to have experienced, I think, like the second coming of it. But
more like the third.
Third coming, I don't even know why.
The original heyday was like 80s.
Oh God, I don't know. History, I know. That might be. Marx is going to teach me some history.
We will later.
But it's very much worth it. Obviously, now I have a lot of videos of when I'm training as a kid, but I just enjoyed it. And and that's the thing. No matter what, I had so many good friends at the lake, and I would come home. I wouldn't come home. I was home at the lake, but I would be at home. I would wake up at 8 o'clock, put a wetsuit on, go hang out with about 10 other kids varying from, I was the youngest pretty much, but my age through till about 10 years older than me, and I would just enjoy it, you know?
Were you one of those kids that would put your wetsuit on at the beginning of the day
and never take it off?
Wear it all day?
I'd never take it off. I couldn't pee in my wetsuit, so I'd have to take it off, and then I do remember the pain of putting a wet wetsuit on. But
couldn't you just make a zipper or something to kind of easy access?
Me and Sophie Jones, we'd go around, we'd all day, every day, all summer. The thing I look back on is I don't understand is how parents just, what did they do? Like, we they all work, they all have businesses, but there was like a group of probably 10 kids of us that just went, and we have vans at our lake. They'd live in the vans. We'd be there pretty much 6 weeks of the school holiday back home.
For Americans, that's like trailers.
Trailers. And we would live at the lake for 6 weeks. And again, I would wake up 8 a.m. I mean, I'd probably wake up earlier than that, but I would wake up, I would do ski. My record was 10 sets in a day, big boppers, two skis, one ski, trick ski, how long can you hold a 180, all this stuff. We'd play around for just all day, slack lines over the water, and then go in. And that's the biggest thing, that at some point, like end of 2022, kind of some pits went really well, then it drops and it comes, and no matter what, skiing's up, down, sideways, backwards, you don't know where you are, but at the end of the day, it's very fun what we get to be able to do, and it's not something a lot of people can do.
Talk about a down moment from this season that taught you a lesson.
Moomba was a pretty rough one. Going there and falling on my third pass, that was a lot, because Moomba's incredibly expensive to go to now. The prize money's only paid down to fifth, which I only found out after the event, because I placed fifth and fourth in the other. But that was rough, because it was just, you've flown all the way across, you've trained, you've put a lot of effort and money into this, and to go fall on my second pass, third pass, was real rough. I think one and a half at 35. And what I learned from it was, well, it happens, is one thing. I mean, I've heard some stories, I think it's Nate and Will, they both went and missed their gates like 3-4 years. Mm. JT didn't run his first, the stat of JT, he'll laugh about it and it's hilarious. He's told me it a few times, like, he didn't run his first pass. It took him like 4 years to run his first path. The fifth year he won. Something, you know, and that's, it's so rough to go through when you're going through those moments.
Yep.
But in that moment, then I kind of got it together. I tricked, did well, made finals, jumped twice, made finals, and ended up placing fourth in tricks, which was some awesome memories. I guess.
So what's one other moment you wish you could have back, or you could wish you could go back and kind of try to change?
The end of the season was somewhat frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say I skied well. Mastercraft Pro was like hitting my head against a brick wall, missing I got one at 41 and half at 41. Then came into, what was the next tournament? I had like a run of four.
Was it Grand Prix?
I don't think it was. I had a run of four events, essentially.
Malibu.
Four rounds. No, Malibu did well. I had four rounds in a row where California. I flew all the way to California. Again, amazing experience. The vlog was super fun on that one. And it's the first time I'd ever really flown somewhere properly. I had done, but what I felt like was taking a big trip and an expense and missing the final. And I got one at 41. I got one and a half at 41, half at 41, and then came to Mastercraft and was like, right, skiing really well. I'm ready to get back at it. Had an amazing Yosemite trip in the middle. That was awesome. But then going back and Mastercraft, felt good in practice, felt good everywhere through, and then got half at 41 and one at 41 in Mastercraft. And that was a pretty big low because I'm like, what is going on? You know, like where did things go? And after that, I mean, I skied well. Travers Grand Prix ended up, I messed up big time first round, like 2.5 at 38. But San Glare, big problems in myself there.
Came back strong second round.
I wasn't the right, came back strong second round.
Almost.
Three, just inside of four. Yep. And I was like, I skied well, you know? Yep. And there was a few, there's a lot at the end of the year that, again, I ran, I mean, it depends, because technically I didn't miss a 39 in the fall. I missed a 38, I didn't miss a 39 in the fall. And that's always been a big thing for me. I remember that was my biggest focus. 2021 was to get through a 39, mm-hmm. You know, and I ran some really good 39s. Mastercraft Pro was the best 39 I've run of the season on that very ski, you know, like I absolutely smoked it and then won at 41. I was like,
yeah,
I think what the hell is going on?
Of course, that is the sport too, right?
That is the sport. And it's been, but for me, I've been incredibly lucky and I've had so many highs in this sport.
Yeah.
So many. And especially my first year, I mean, coming on that 2021 and having that amazing start to the season, final, Swiss Pro Finals, making the Masters, all of that, that was enough good memories for a lot, you know? Yeah. And it's like, and I had it so good in 2021. I barely missed the final. 2022, I never really traveled anywhere. I think nearly all of Europe, I made every single final. So again, this year it went well. And like, I came sixth in the tour. That's awesome for me where I'm at to be. Yeah. And there was plenty of room for mistakes. There's so many mistakes in there. So
what's one moving forward for 2024, like, a performance or a preparation goal? What's something that you think if you execute on, you might be able to tip the scales even more in a positive direction for 2024?
Well, the reason why I'm here is you guys have, I'm locked in a prison of working out for 3 weeks. Like, cause it's so hard to get back in that routine of,
you were tired today on this, behind the boat.
I was so tired.
He was complaining so hard about his arms, about his legs.
Shoulders, don't forget those.
All he did was mountain bike yesterday.
And that was a gym, day off. And go and do. But yeah. Man,
you've been gymming.
But no, that's, I think a big thing is going to be just adding some strength in movement. Injury prevention obviously is going to be a big one. We're pretty sticky people as skiers. We don't move that well.
Yep.
So that's going to be a big one. I had way less niggles this year working on mobility. And
Niggles meaning?
Oh, like that's not nagging good in injuries. Like nagging. Yeah. We say like niggles in, like you have a little niggle here and there.
Yeah. it's all good.
And
you had a few this
past
season.
I had a very few this past season. End of the season was some, but that was, I mean, we're talking 23 months. Last year I had some real big issues where I had to stop for a kind of a week or so. This year I had nothing really that halted me until the last week when I had a rib that just got a little miffed. And so it's been a big season in terms of injury prevention. I want to keep going on that with not just the mobility and the movement and learning a lot about my body, but actually adding a off season of strength to it. I'm taking a month off, building that back up, and then just having a platform of strength that I can hopefully keep going with some light movements and kind of following the program lightly, and just keeping my body flowing, I guess, is the off water goal.
Yep.
On waters, just don't miss 39s.
That's a good goal. Simple. To the point.
Like, again, I watch Will, and I've probably seen him miss. I've seen him actually miss more 39s in tournament lately than I have in practice.
Yeah.
I kid you not, I've seen him miss probably 2 39s in practice.
Ever. Yeah.
That's like.
Yeah. He's an animal. He's obviously one of the best ever.
You know, and that's like, but that's the standard that. And that's what's so awesome about being able to train at Jack's and with John and Will and Jamie is the standard is the highest it can be.
Yeah.
You know, and I rock up at home in Lincoln with my 3 at 41 and like, you know, there's
not the same push from
and there's still
inside.
Push. I mean, it's awesome to train with, like, there's Tom Poole and Callum and Aaron, and we have a lot of people in England that are super fun to train with and that same push, but it's a different story when you're training against someone that on a bad day is getting 441 and on an average day is running it. Yeah. And again, never missing a single 39, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's a big thing, is like, just hit gates more often in practice. I'm going to get shunned for that one because...
Yeah, make those
I'm
gates.
I'm pretty shocking at that.
Folks, make them.
Make them.
Practice.
I'm shocking. I never miss a gate. I never hit a gate in practice.
Ever.
Just dialing in, like lately, you may have noticed it. I've been trying my hardest to never miss the 39s. Yeah. No matter what happens, no matter what the feel is, no matter what we do to the ski, to the bindings, to fin, to whatever it is, it's right. No matter what's on your feet, you know it's a solid platform. Go run 39 at the least, you know. And
I've seen you get through some ugly ones, like pretty.
Oh,
pretty,
thanks. Appreciate it. I've seen some pretty ones either.
I've seen a lot of pretty ones, and that was a compliment, believe it or not, because you've made mistakes and still recovered.
Yeah, and that
which is like,
and I think it's not even the fact of doing it. I mean, you can still miss them in tournament. It's more the fact of going into it and knowing that you never miss it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's not that you shouldn't be dropping. And it's something that naturally comes, like it comes at 38, right? And it came quite relatively quickly at 38.
Yeah,
but 39, it's going to take a lot longer. And it you, as a skier, by doing it for a certain amount of time, you just get better. As long as you're using the right methods and you're keeping on somewhat of a good track, you just get more consistent, is what I found. Like, I just get more consistent at 38s. In practice, I'm just getting more consistent at 39s. And it's about taking that. One, I want to be incredibly consistent at 39s in practice, and then in tournament. Like Tigas. You watch Tigas in a tournament. It's like, oh, 39. Dane.
Yeah, Tigas only missed 139, I noticed this year. I saw. Was that, what was that? Was that Worlds?
He had some back issues somewhere along the way. No, not Worlds.
Was that Grand Prix?
Did he make?
I think it was Grand Prix, maybe. It's after Malibu.
Yeah. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's not, it can be a
solid.
Just howling tailwind.
Yeah. Boom.
And that's the thing I see with, again, the people that I want to try emulate, Dane, Will, Freddie, Nate, it's that kind of, they just look so solid on their 39s.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to talk about in a podcast, another episode, is like,
what's
happening at the next line that's making that shorter line look easy.
I think we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about, how long it takes to progress at different levels.
Yeah.
We're obviously going to talk about technique. We're going to talk about training. We're going to talk about how to help your average girlfriend be a better driver. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. but yeah, this is going to be fun.
Yep.
We're kicking off another series, and we're going to try not to make anybody mad and ruffle too many feathers.
I think we'll make someone mad.
We're going to make somebody mad, but we're going to talk about some serious stuff. There's some truths.
Yeah.
Truths.
I'm excited.
Okay. Thank you for kicking this thing off. Hey, she's fine. She's fine.
Be gentle with her.
All right, that's it. Thanks for sitting down. We're gonna
sit down.
We're gonna take a 2-minute tea break, and we're gonna come back.
We're coming back.
I don't know.
I like it.
We'll see.
Let's do it.
Peace.